It's episode 6 of That's Disturbing. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Gail.
We're back at it again.
I hate the way I sing my name.
I'm Gail.
At least you're not DeGail. Unless I go to Ziggy's, and then I am DeGail.
Yeah, we got coffee this morning, and they wrote D space Gail for her name. DeGail.
Yep.
Like, oh, that's off. Something about that isn't right.
Something isn't right.
Something does not match here. All right. Again, like last time, we have an Instagram, we have a website, and we have a Gmail. Woo woo! Now get on to your disturbing fact.
Okay, here we go. So, this is super disturbing, but not really, and maybe everybody already knows this. But when you think about it in perspective, it becomes disturbing. So, after you die, your brain, unless you're like shot in the head, I guess, but your brain, because even like your brain stem. Okay, I'm moving on, going words. So 7 minutes after you die, or up to 7 minutes after you die, you're alive because your brain hasn't died yet. So some people even, like if they're cardiac arrest patients and they have died from a heart attack or whatever, and the doctors brought them back to life after like however many minutes of, you know, life support or compressions or
being resuscitated.
Yeah, exactly. Clear with the thingies. So people say that they've even heard doctors declare them dead. So is that creepy?
That is creepy,
right? So 7 minutes after you're dead, you still have brain function. So you still have like measurable brain function.
These patients are saying that they heard the doctors say that they were dead and they were brought back to life. They were resuscitated.
Yeah, that's in the cases where people were brought back to life. But others, it's just like the study that they did where people who are dead still have like electromagnetic like firing neurons and all of that still within their brain, but they're dead. And so that being said, if they keep your brain alive and your body's dead, like say your kidneys have stopped functioning, your heart start beating and all of that, they could keep you alive indefinitely if they're getting oxygen to your brain. Is that weird?
That is weird.
Yeah. Please don't do that to me.
I'm going to keep you alive forever.
Nope. And I feel like a lot of days I'm brain dead, even while I'm alive.
Yeah, it's relatable.
All right. That was my disturbing fact.
Okay. On to the case of the day. This is kind of all over the place, and you'll understand why when you hear it. The way it was reported from everywhere that I got the public information from. Our killer in today's case is Enriqueta Marti. She's got several different nicknames, so I'm going to name you the most popular three that she's referred to as.
Okay.
Other than her actual name. She's known as the Vampire of Raval, or the Vampire of Barcelona, or the Vampire of, excuse my butchering, I don't speak Spanish. I took French in high school. Didn't really work out that well for me either, though. The Vampire of Ponent Street? Ponent? Ponent, I think?
Sure.
Yeah. Vampire of Ponent Street. She was born January 1st.
Wait, hold please. So I'm guessing she's a vampire, since all of her nicknames have the word vampire in them.
You might be on to something.
I might be wrong to something. Am I wrong to something, or am I on to something, or am I wrong to something?
You might be known as wrong to somebody, but what I meant to say is you're on to something.
Cool.
Yeah, she's got other nicknames too. I believe it's like the damn Golden State Killer, like has 100,000 nicknames. It's like, okay, which one is it?
Right. Pick and choose. Name your top three. And apparently right. You just did, even though you couldn't say the third one.
I did. I named my top three. I named the three that I thought were the most relevant.
Okay. Although you couldn't say the third one, but that's okay.
Nope. Excuse me when I butcher more names throughout this case. Because again, I took French, which is also a Latin language, but it didn't work out too well for me. And also they go the, with their R's, not the
Wow.
They do.
Yes, I know they do.
Okay, on to the case, Mom.
Okay.
Enriqueta Marti, she was born January 1st, 1868. In my notes here, I actually have a question mark because there's not a whole lot about her that was known until she moved from her hometown in Sant Feliu de Llobregat to Barcelona when she was a young woman.
Thank God she moved to Barcelona and you can pronounce it.
Right, I can pronounce Barnes.
Kelowna. Oh my gosh.
This whole case is just going to be us laughing about my pronunciation. And this isn't good because this is a heavy case.
Great. Okay, we'll stop laughing and start focusing.
Right, we're laughing at ourselves, not at this.
Nope.
Please make fun of us with us.
Right.
So when she moved to Barcelona as a young woman, she worked as a maid servant and a nanny for like these bougie middle upper class homeowners, these bourgeois homes of the time. And she quickly went from being a nanny to then becoming a sex worker. She was a prostitute.
Jesus. That's quite a segue. I hate kids. I'm going to start having sex for money instead.
Right. I hate children. Let me start having sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me start getting paid for this. I don't want to be a nanny anymore. Right. Clean people's homes. Wow. So in 1895, she married her first husband, Juan Pujalo. Call him Juan P. So even though she got married, she still continued her life as a sex worker.
I think it's Juan Paulo.
Paulo?
Maybe. Well, yeah, Juan Paulo. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay,
so she married Juan Paulo. He was a painter also. Mm-hmm. And even though she's married to him, she still wanted to be a sex worker. She never stopped that line of business, her entrepreneurial ways as a sex worker.
Well, she wants to make her own money.
Yeah, I guess that's what you could call it. So their marriage didn't last long because of Enriqueta's affairs with other men.
Figure.
Yeah, right. He also said that sometimes she would act strange and unpredictable.
Okay.
And the couple had reconciled and separated roughly about 6 times. So they have an on again, off again relationship, right? It probably, I would imagine in my head, is like, oh, she's changed.
Just kidding, she's
still a sex worker. She's changed for good this time. 6 months later. Why the fuck do I have another STD?
Nice.
So, no offense to sex workers, but this was the 1800s, so they probably weren't gloving it.
Probably not.
At the time of Enriqueta's detention in 1912, the couple had been separated for 5 years, and they had not had any children.
That's probably so good.
Yeah.
Especially considering she didn't even want to be a nanny and she chose a different career path. She probably should not be a mother.
Yeah, exactly. So aside from being married and being a prostitute, at some point, Enriqueta decided to start living a double life where during the day she would dress in ratty clothing and would beg at people's homes and at charities and at covenants around Barcelona, trying to get money or food or whatever she could from these people, right? Offering a hand to her and these other presumably homeless, like actually homeless people.
Right.
So she would pick up children who looked abandoned to her that she could pass off as her own children. They looked somewhat like her. And this was in hopes that she could get more from being a beggar if she had children with her.
Jeez.
And she would change the children's names and clothing and their appearances and just, you know, completely manipulate them. Tell them, this is your name now. You don't have any parents. You'll respond to this name. She changed their clothes. Yeah. Like would cut their hair, just, you know, manipulate Jeez. Their hairs, manipulate their looks and everything about them to get money, to be able to earn more money.
How long did she keep these kids?
So when she was done with the children, she would either pimp them out, like take them to these brothels with her.
Oh my God.
Or she would just murder them.
Oh, she's cool.
Yeah, she's excellent, right?
Jeez.
Yeah.
She's not a good person.
No, absolutely not. That's why I said this one's heavy.
Yeah, that's terrible. I feel bad.
So at night, she would dress to the nines and she'd put on fancy wigs and nice jewelry and beautiful dresses, right? Like a high class prostitute, one of Heidi Fleiss's. I don't know why I returned to Heidi Fleiss in the last episode and this one now too. I just think of these high end brothels, right?
Call girls.
Yeah.
Escorts.
Yeah, an escort. That's basically what she was.
Right.
She would dress up and go to El Liceo or the Casino de la Arrabasada.
Sure.
And other places where people that were wealthy that lived in Barcelona would all gather. And many people believe that she would take the children she didn't murder here. So she's sex trafficking these kids, right? Like I said before, she's prostituting them.
Yeah.
So she would take them to these wealthy places with these wealthy clients that she had and like sex traffic these kids.
God, she's a horrible person.
Yeah, she's a terrible human.
Right.
So we're going to jump ahead here to the year 1909.
Okay.
So this year she was arrested in her flat.
Good.
Yeah. She was accused of running a brothel that offered the sexual services of children aged 3 to 14 years old.
Oh my God. She should have just been fucking shot.
Yeah.
Slowly through her vajayjay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's where she makes her money.
Yeah, exactly. God, what a piece of shit. 3 years old. God, I hate her.
3 to 14.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah. 3 to 14, any of that is bad. But I hate her.
So a young man of a wealthy family was also arrested in part of this. I couldn't find his name. His name is not public.
Probably because he's from a wealthy family.
Exactly. So because he's from a wealthy family, she's an escort to these high-end people, to these people who are super wealthy within Barcelona. She has these super high-up connections, right?
Right.
To the high society of Barcelona. These clients that were in her brothel that used her services to sexually assault these kids, and you know, she was also an escort too. She has these connections, right? So because of this, she was never charged in any of like the matters regarding this brothel of the children being in it. Everything was just kind of like lost in the system.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Yeah,
exactly. I hate these people that get away with this kind of shit.
Right, they just have pay it off.
And or connections. Yeah. And or both.
Yeah, they just pay off these
people. Ugh, I hate her.
So at the same time that she was prostituting these kids, she was also practicing as a witch doctor.
Okay.
By today's terms, a witch doctor is an original type of healer who treated ailments that are believed to be caused by witchcraft. So they're basically healing people who are cursed.
Okay.
This term is now more commonly referred to as healers.
Okay.
And particularly in regions where they would use traditional healing rather than contemporary medicine is where you would find a witch doctor.
Gotcha.
So she's practicing as a witch doctor. Or as a healer.
Mm.
So the ingredients.
A sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Piece of shit as a healer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The ingredients that she would use to make her remedies were derived from the remains of the children that she was killing.
Ugh, I hate her.
And these kids ranged from being infants to 9 years old.
Ugh.
And she took everything she could use from these children.
Of course she did.
So she took their fat, their blood, their hair, and their bones, which she'd normally turn into powder, which obviously as like a result of her using every single part of the body that she could use, she had no trouble disposing of the kids.
Right.
When there was not a whole lot left to dispose of.
Ugh.
She didn't have a whole lot of trouble doing that.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's so sad.
Yeah.
That's why I'd never heard a podcast or anybody ever talk about this case.
I've never heard of this case
before. And little nerdy me was watching a Miss Mojo video one day, and I don't remember what the title of it was, but it was, I think it was basically like female serial killers, and she was one of like the honorable mentions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never heard of it, and the rest of them I had heard of in the case. And so I was, my interests were piqued and I was intrigued. And so I just looked into her case and I was like, oh, I have to write about this. I was like, this has to be one of the episodes that I present to the podcast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. However, I don't like her.
Yeah, I don't like her either.
But, you know,
she sucks. Material. So Enriqueta would provide salves, ointments, cataplasms, potions.
Cytoplasms?
What is cataplasms?
What's a cytoplasm?
Some kind of treatment of some sort.
What?
These were all in particular to treat tuberculosis.
Consumption?
Consumption, which was obviously very much so feared at the time. Like, we're talking the early 1900s.
Right.
At the time. And it was very feared. So she would also cure other diseases with this traditional kind of medicine that had no cure.
Sure, she did.
Yeah, right. I say cure, quote, cure, unquote. And wealthy people would pay very steep prices for these remedies. So she's leading a lot of different lives happening here.
Yeah, she's a swindler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely a dirty bitch.
Yeah.
So kids are going missing and people were noticing more and more kidnappings happening at this time, obviously.
Yeah.
And so the governor at the time, Portello Velardes, tried to convince people that this was a false rumor that was spreading in Barcelona. This wasn't really happening.
Typical politician.
Yeah, this isn't really happening. So tensions were obviously high as many minors had, you know, vanished into thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And these children who went missing came from low social class. Their families, their parents didn't have the means to do anything about the fact that they were missing.
Of course, she's going to prey on people that can't do anything about it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's her MO.
Yeah. Well,
prey on people who don't have the means to do anything.
Right. Because they're easy victims.
Right. And mind you, at this time in the Raval neighborhood. So we're talking about Raval as a neighborhood within Barcelona.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's how Raval comes into play in this. It's a neighborhood. It's an area within the entirety of Barcelona.
I gotcha.
So people in the area were like sketchy, kind of low life people anyway you take it. Like it's a poor, I mean, I don't want to say sketchy, but it was reported to be a more dangerous, like higher crime rate kind of area at the time.
Okay.
So poor people, not that I'm saying that poor people are sketchy, but just more crime.
A higher crime area.
A higher crime, more poverty stricken area.
Okay.
And that they would say that there were loads of strange dealings. It was a sketchy place at night that nobody wanted to go outside at night, kind of an area.
Okay.
So she had kidnapped her last victims, Teresita Guitart Congost and Angelita, on February 10th of 1912.
Uh-huh.
So at this time, Enriqueta was living at mezzanine number 29 on Potent Street, which is now Joaquin Costa in the Raval neighborhood. That's what the street's called today.
Okay.
So Enriqueta, she lured in Teresita, presumably Angelita as well, with candies. And then she forcibly put her head into a black rag and took her back to her flat. And when Teresita...
Are they sisters?
No.
Okay.
We don't know this for a fact about Angelita, but she has Angelita too. These are Teresita's accounts. As I said, presumably this is how it might have happened with Angelita as well. Literally, mom turns her back for one sec. Like, literally, like, a minute tops turns her back.
Mm-hmm.
Little girl's gone.
Ugh.
Yeah, she's being offered candies. And then as Teresita knew that she was being moved away from her home, that she's being scurried off in a different direction, that wasn't her home. She was walking away, right? Because she's outside of her own home. That she was begging to go back home. She knew she was being taken. She was begging and begging and begging to go back home. So Enriqueta then cut Teresita's hair and renamed her Felicidad because she was an orphan now. Told her, you're an orphan now. You're going to be called Felicidad. And she would give Teresita stale bread and potatoes to eat. She demanded Teresita call her stepmother and would pinch her instead of beating her.
Aww.
Instead of beating this little girl, she'd just pinch her.
Yeah, it's all bad, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize being pinched is better than being beaten. Mm-hmm. Being stolen and told you're a freaking orphan and changing your name and cutting your hair.
Yeah, it's
makes
horrible.
Me sad. How old
it's
is
so
she?
Sad.
Does it say how old she was?
I couldn't see anything about how old she was. All the reports that I read on this were very all over the place. Like, it was hard to find anything that had any legs or ground to stand on, like, during these time gaps that I'm getting into. So that's why it jumps from when she was born to approximately when she was young, she moved to Barcelona. Then this was the year she got married, and this was the first time she got arrested. And
okay.
Then this year that she had kidnapped her last two victims.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, just because it was the 1800s. Like, nobody really knew.
Yeah.
Or 18 moving into 1900s, I'm sorry.
Right, gotcha.
Like, she wasn't this person that there were being records kept of.
Okay, gotcha.
She wasn't a high society person.
Well, yeah, clearly.
Yeah, she associated with them, obviously.
Right.
Because she worked in the places that they gathered, but she was not a high society person.
Right. She was just an opportunistic person who took advantage of the high society people.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, or not even took advantage, but like...
used them.
Yeah, she capitalized on things that they would want, like children for sex.
Yeah.
Stupid piece of shits, all of them.
Potions that they probably did not know what was in them.
Right.
Or maybe they did.
I don't know. If they're decent people, they're not going to... Yeah. Okay, I don't want to say what they're...
Yeah, but they're also pimping out kids. These are probably the same people.
Well, that's what I mean. So... Yeah.
So anyway, Teresita, she was not allowed to go on the balconies. She was off limits to several rooms and she wasn't allowed to look out the windows. So, you know, she's just a little trapped girl and a little captive inside of this apartment. She's being held hostage.
Right. She's a prisoner.
Yeah, she's a prisoner. Exactly. That's the right word. She's a prisoner in this apartment. So police were looking for Teresita, unlike the other children, because she came from a family with some kind of money, some kind of resources to be able to have her posters printed and hung on every single street in Barcelona.
Oh, that's cool.
That they were actually actively looking for this little girl.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. Finally, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There were posters hung on, yeah, like I said, every single street. Oh, that's because I was at the wrong page. So there were posters hung on every street for her within the area of Barcelona itself. Mm-hmm. And then people were angry with the police as the assumptions of kids basically being taken were confirmed by the case of Teresita, that, you know, finally there's this family who has the means to hang these posters of a young child who's been abducted. Then these other people who also had kids that were abducted were like, see,
told you.
Yeah, we're not making this up. Our kids didn't run away. They were abducted.
Right.
All it took was a family with money to, you know, get them to finally change their groove, I guess.
Right. To be like, oh, just kidding. It is real.
Yeah, exactly. So Enriqueta's neighbor, Claudia Elias, told her mattress maker. Yeah, her mattress maker.
Everyone has a mattress maker, I guess.
Right. That on February 17th, she saw a little girl with a shaved head looking out the window from the inner courtyard of the staircase in the like mezzanine area of the apartment complex, if you will.
Okay.
And so Claudia was shook. She'd never seen this little girl before. And the girl appeared to be very malnourished. She looked out the window, like, longingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, with her little shaved head.
Yeah.
Poor little Teresita.
I know. It's so sad.
Aw.
Poor baby. So the mattress maker then ended up telling the municipal agent, Jose Azens, about Claudia's suspicions.
Okay.
So three policemen went to Enriqueta's flat on February 27th to look for Teresita, but they told Enriqueta that they were there because of a complaint regarding chickens in her apartment.
Oh, awesome.
So they found both girls in the apartment, obviously.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Good is right. So these are the girls' accounts of everything I'm about to read you.
Okay.
Teresita and Angelita explored the flat one day when Enriqueta was not home, and they found many girls' clothes in a sack that was covered in blood and also a boning knife covered in blood.
Aw, that's so sad and scary. Can you imagine if you're a little kidnapped girl in this is what you find. House?
Yeah. Right, it's like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. Without the fairy tale part.
Yeah. Hansel and Gretel isn't a fairy tale, but it's a Grimm's Brothers book.
Yeah. Well, you know.
They get cooked. It's not really much of a fairy tale.
But you can't read those when you're a kid. They're bedtime stories. It's great. Maybe where the true horror begins in our lives.
Right. Very true. So Angelita, she mentioned that there was a 5-year-old boy when she got there. This was before Teresita arrived. His name was Pepito.
Aww.
And Enriqueta killed Pepito on the kitchen table. Enriqueta doesn't know that Angelita saw her killing Pepito because when it happened, she ran into her room that she was sleeping in and pretended to be asleep when she saw it.
Aw, that's traumatizing.
I know, watching her kill a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, I don't know how old Angelita is.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm old, and if I see someone kill a 5-year-old on a kitchen table, I'm traumatized.
So, Angelita, she doesn't remember her real last name, which has made it harder to identify her.
Aww.
But she said that Enriqueta mentioned that her father's name is
Juan Paulo Pualo. Yep.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's her husband.
Yeah, that's her husband.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So Enriqueta claims that Angelita is her and Juan's daughter.
What?
Yeah. But Juan testified that he had not been intimate with Enriqueta for several years, and he did not have any children with her. And then Enriqueta claimed that she took Angelita from her sister-in-law when Angelita was a newborn, and that her sister-in-law does not know because she told her sister-in-law that her baby was a stillborn.
Aw. God, this lady just gets worse and worse.
Right? So she basically, like, raised this baby.
Yeah.
Which
I guess, is like cool that she didn't kill her because she must have been old enough to know that she didn't remember her surname. But horrible, all the other things that she does.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, she's a terrible fucking person.
Yeah.
So then Enriqueta was obviously arrested and she served time in the Reina Amalia prison, which was then demolished in 1936.
With her in it, maybe?
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Detectives went back to the flat and they had discovered a locked room. So they opened the door, right? Go into this locked room.
Right.
And what they found was a sack filled with bloody clothes and the boning knife with the blood on it.
Aww.
And the investigators also found another bag containing about 30 bones, which gave evidence that they were exposed to a fire along with some dirty clothes in it. There were 50 pitchers, jars, and bowls containing preserved human remains, such as children's hair, their fat, their lard, coagulated blood, their bones that were already turned into powder.
Aww.
And skeletons of hands.
Oh, this makes me sad.
Yeah, this is horrible. I told you.
It's also disgusting.
I told you it's heavy.
Yeah. It's really sad and it's also disgusting. I guess it's disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
I know, I feel like I need to pop, although the other true crime cases we've covered up until this point have all been about kids. So I don't really know if we need to jump in with a trigger warning about kids at this point. But yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's terrible.
Apparently we just really like the disturbing cases.
Yeah. Well, it's the name of our show.
Right, that's disturbing.
It is.
This is all disturbing. They also found potion pots with potions. ointments in the salves when they went into this locked room. And then they discovered strange things in her flat, such as an ancient book with parchment covers on it, a book of notes which she had written recipes and potions in, like this beautiful calligraphy, and a package of letters and notes written in a coded language, and a list of names of families of very important figures in Barcelona.
Okay.
And this list, it was highly debated because it was widely assumed that these were her wealthy clients, right?
Yeah,
and
sorry.
I was like waiting for your reaction.
I'm just, yeah, of course.
So because of their wealth, the public assumed that the suspected clients would not pay for their crimes or pedophilia for purchasing human remains to treat their health. So the police attempted to keep the list from leaking, but rumors spread that it contained the names of doctors, politicians, businessmen, and bankers.
So that's how come you keep circling back to Heidi Fleiss.
Just because it had a book.
Yeah, a book that had a bunch of prominent people's information in it that was protected. And
yeah,
okay.
So investigators also visited two more flats where Enriqueta had lived, one on Taller Street and another on Picalix Street.
Sure.
And a small house on Jacques Floral Street in Sants, and that's where she's from.
Okay.
They had discovered false walls and human remains in both of them. They discovered a 3-year-old child's skull and a series of bones that corresponded to a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old in the garden of the house on Jacques Floral Street. Some remains still had pieces of clothing, such as a darned sock, which basically showed the darned sock meant that these kids were poor, that they came from a family with limited resources.
Yeah.
That they were an impoverished family. Well, that was basically their evidence there. But so we know that she took kids from impoverished families because in that way there would be no circling back around to her that she had taken these kids.
Well, because like you said, they don't have the resources and exactly. People aren't believing them because it's easier to not believe them, I guess. It's cheaper for them to not have to investigate.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Because it's political. Because the governor's like, oh, no, it's not happening.
Right. Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
These are just rumors.
Yeah. Don't be dumb.
Don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah.
So some further investigation into Enriqueta's family's property in Sant Feliu de Llobregat, her hometown. They discovered the remains of children in vases and jars, as well as remedy books.
Oh my God. Okay, my jaw just hit the ground.
Yeah.
Vases and jars.
Yeah, just of kids.
Yeah, no, I get
their parts.
Yeah.
On display, I would assume.
Yeah. If they're in vases and jars.
Yeah. you display those things.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. So gross.
Yeah.
So the house belonged to the Marti family and was known among the locals as Lindo. It's just what they called the house. Mm-hmm. And Juan, her ex-husband, or then husband, on and off again husband.
Right.
Claimed that he wasn't allowed at the property due to Enriqueta's father's poor, just like abilities to be a homeowner and like a host. So he didn't come to the property.
Okay, wait. So did her dad, her family still live in the house?
I don't think so, but it was their property.
Oh, okay.
Owned it.
Okay, because I was like, well, is her dad part of this? Like, is her dad the original?
No.
Okay.
No, her family has nothing to do with it other than the fact that stuff was found there.
Okay, gotcha.
And then the fact that she's a sick, twisted piece of shit and they raised her.
Right.
Some remains were the clothes that were intact on the corpses that revealed that they didn't have enough money to look for their missing kids. The clothes look gross and it just in tatters.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's, again, just furthering the proof that she just took these kids from people who did not have the resources to find their kids.
Yeah.
So I guess Teresita would be her one mistake, but it's how she got caught.
I'm like, mistake.
Well, I mean that.
For her.
It's her mistake.
Yeah.
So when she was in jail, she attempted to commit suicide.
Good.
She slashed her wrist with a wooden knife while she was awaiting trial in the Reina Amalia jail. And these are her testimonies from while she was in jail. So she had changed her name from Marti to Marina, Enriqueta Marina.
Okay.
And she would lease her these places under this name because she always failed to pay rent. And they didn't want it to get back to her real name. So she's Enriqueta Marina instead of Enriqueta Marti when she puts her name on lease properties.
Right.
So in that way, it's not tied back to her. And her husband corroborated this story that she would do these things.
Wow.
And when she was questioned about Teresita's presence in her home, she explained that she had found the little girl lost and hungry the day before in the Ronda de Saint Paul. Claudia alias denied this because she had seen the girl several days before the arrest in the flat.
Right.
Like we
I just found her yesterday and she's starving and her head is shaved.
Yeah. Totally. And I found her starving.
Right. And I didn't take her like to the police or try to figure out whose kid she is. I just like brought her back to my house where I have a bunch of bloody clothes and another kidnapped child.
Right.
Just coincidentally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of frustrated that I couldn't find the ages of the two girls
mm-hmm.
because it would have been nice to like put it into perspective,
right?
The ages and to see how long, you know, if she did steal Angelita as a newborn, then to know how long she had had her for,
right?
Because then obviously she was the one who named her Angelita,
right? Which is a cute little name.
It is, and she hadn't killed her that far,
right? Yeah, lucky for her.
Yeah, right. So she was also interrogated about the presence of bones, human remains, the creams, the potions, the ointments, the blood bottles that were ready for sale, and the boning knife. And The interrogators questioned as to whether she had subjected the bones to high temperature, so whether she was like cooking or burning them.
Right, turning them into powder.
The forensics had suggested that they were cooked and that they had been exposed to high temperatures at this point.
Right.
Enriqueta first claimed that she studied the human anatomy. That's why she was doing all this.
Okay.
She studied anatomy.
Okay.
Instead of becoming a doctor? I don't know.
Well, you know, doctor, serial killer.
Same thing.
Well.
Or not.
Maybe not.
That was a joke.
No, I yeah.
So, under duress from the interrogation, she confessed to being a healer who used children's raw materials for her remedies.
Raw materials.
Yeah. Their bodies.
Yeah, no. It was just a hardcore eye roll.
Yeah.
Because I feel like raw material would maybe be, you could use some of their hair or their toenail clippings or have them spit in a jar.
See, when I think of like raw materials, I'm thinking like an apple that you haven't cooked.
Well,
or a carrot that you haven't cooked or a piece of wood that you haven't treated.
Well, no, but I'm thinking in terms of like if you're going to use products of children
as your
defense, you don't kill them and use byproducts of their dead body parts for your potions That's not your defense.
So she claimed to be an expert who knew how to make best remedies and that her concoctions were highly sought after by wealthy people of high social standings, which we already knew.
Right.
These people were willing to pay literally an arm and a leg for her stuff.
Right.
And then she could use them in potions.
Yeah, sure.
During questioning, she revealed the locations of her other flats, as well as where the investigators could look inside them. She was already known and admitted to being a procurer.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that word.
Procurer.
Yeah, for pedophiles. That she had pimped these kids out to these pedophiles, to these people.
Yeah, okay.
However, she did not name a single customer of hers because she was afraid of what might happen if she named them.
Good. I mean, yeah, I don't have words because
it's just a dirty and disgusting.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so something could happen to her,
basically.
Well, and if they're rich and famous, like you said, or maybe not even famous, but it's that whole
power dynamic.
Yeah, they're exempt from the rules.
Yeah. Which, unfortunately, we still see today.
Yes, we do.
Although a little bit of justice is finally starting to happen in this world.
Sometimes.
Not much of it, but a little bit of it.
Sometimes.
Some. So investigators, they knew that Pepito was a little boy because of both Angelita and Claudia Elias' testimonies. Who, Claudia, the neighbor, remember? She had seen the little boy on occasion. And Enriqueta said that Pepito's family gave him to her because they couldn't take care of him. And when asked where he was, she said that he wasn't with her because he was sick and had gone to the countryside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
It's like when your dog gets put to sleep and they tell you went to go live on a farm.
Yeah, exactly. They went to the farm.
Right.
Ugh. She had also used this reason with Claudia, told her that, you know, Claudia was pressing her. Where was that little boy that was here that had been, quote, given to you, unquote?
Right.
And she's like, oh, you know, like, he's got sick, so sent him away to the countryside, you know, some vitamin D healing powers.
A little R&R.
Yeah, a little R&R, just a little rest and relaxation in the farmlands. Let him lay out in the sun, soak it up, feel better.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't like her.
I don't either. She's a gross woman.
Yeah. She's disgusting.
So this excuse of hers was finally broken by the overwhelming evidence and testimony from Angelita.
Go figure.
Yeah. So she couldn't deny the bloody clothes in the bag, the knife, the fat, the blood, the bones that were still on them. And Pepito's body parts were in the bag. So she also couldn't figure out who had given her the boy. So they made it clear that he was just another kidnap victim.
Right.
That he wasn't actually given to her and she murdered him. Like,
weird.
It was just another kid that she had kidnapped.
Ugh.
Right, but she tried to keep up this ruse of like, oh, they were given to me. Oh, so-and-so's parents couldn't take care of them. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Right, and I'm such a good quality, upstanding person that if you can't take care of your child, you're going to give them to me.
Yeah, right? You don't even know me, but let me have your kid.
Right? You seem cool. Let me
take
care of little Pepito for us.
So we have another testimony of that, where an Aragonese mother from Alcaiz recognized her as the abductor of her son 6 years previously in 1906.
Mm-hmm.
Enriqueta was very kind to the woman, who was tired and hungry after a long trip from their home country into Barcelona, and she was allowed to hold her little baby.
Aww.
And then for whatever reason, she used some kind of excuse to the mom to, like, step away. And then when mom turned her back, Enriqueta and baby were gone.
Jeez.
So she had moved away from the mother. They'd vanished into thin air. The poor mother, she never found her son and never found out what happened to him. So they think that he was one of the babies, obviously, used to make the medicines.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So this is where we finally get to see some justice.
Oh, good.
Enriqueta's prison mates killed her 15 months after her arrest by lynching her on the prison patio.
Good.
Or she died of uterine cancer.
Well, fuck.
It's one or the other.
Alrighty. Those are real different things.
I've seen it both ways, though. But either way, we do have her death date. May 12th,
1913. What do you see more of? Do you see more that she was killed or uterine cancer?
I've seen both.
Equal amounts?
I think I saw, of the sources that I looked into, one of them said either or, one of them said one, and one of them said the other.
I don't like it.
I don't either. So I thought I'd report on both, but I think I like the one where she's being lynched.
Yeah.
Better.
Same.
I think I appreciate that one more. It's like, aha, justice.
Right. But also, yeah, I don't know. Uterine cancer, also justice, but not as swift.
Yeah, no.
Or maybe better because you suffer, because she's in prison and that's
a pretty brutal place to spend your last few days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, though, she was never tried for her murder or crimes because she died before her court date.
Of course she did.
Yeah. So the justice system never actually got anything from it.
Right. And would they have anyway? Because all these rich and wealthy people.
Yeah, but the evidence was there.
The evidence was there.
Against her.
Yeah, at least for the child murders and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Still. Not necessarily, I guess, the pedophile rings.
Yeah. I hate her.
I do too. So she was secretly buried in a common grave at a cemetery in Sudeste, which is located in the mountain of Montjuic in Barcelona. I don't know. I don't know how to say all these names again. I apologize for butchering. I don't know how to say the name, so I didn't take Spanish. I don't speak Spanish.
Okay.
I should learn, though.
Before this comes out, we can edit it.
Yes. It's sound bites of me saying it properly. Though it is not known how many children she killed, the number is estimated to be very high since she operated for a span of 20 years doing all of this. Forensics experts managed to differentiate a total of 12 children with the evidence that they were able to recover. So again, you know, she didn't murder all of the children. I guess what they were trying to find is how many kids she actually murdered. Because I think that the number of kids that she pimped out, essentially, we'll never know.
Right.
We'll never know how many kids that was. Or if somebody else turned around and murdered them, like that kind of a thing.
Right.
Or if they were human trafficked or so they either escaped or didn't.
Yeah.
We'll never know those things, but we do know through forensics that they were able to differentiate 12 kids that were her victims.
Which doesn't seem like a lot given 20 years. But how many properties did she have? How many bodies did she totally destroy?
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know all these things.
Clearly
because this could have just been the last 12 that she did that she still had these ointments of that they were still able to get, you know, DNA samples from and do all this stuff.
I don't think they had DNA in 1913.
They probably had like collected bones though, I would assume. And they had to have been able to test it years later or at least like look at different things to be able to clearly state these are 12 different people.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they could put it together, but I'm sure it wasn't because of DNA.
Right. And we have to consider the fact again that like this had to have been recent things that she had because all of the things that were stashed and stored in different places. Actually, I don't know if she owned the other two apartments, her other two flats, the ones that we mentioned before with like the false walls and all that. Obviously, the homes were, or the one home was owned because it was her family's.
Right.
However, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that like she could have disposed of so many others, been keeping like everything in various locations to just scatter evidence for herself to be able to use later.
Right. Well, that's what I'm thinking too, is that it's only the ones that she has recently that are the ones that they uncovered. But 12 is a lot.
It is a lot.
Even if it's not all, it's still a lot.
It is. It's a ton.
I hope she's burning in hell.
I'm sure she is.
Every day.
Well, I'm sure that she is.
Yeah. I hope she's being dissected and made into ointments and salves and all that kind of bullshit and then being resurrected and having it done over and over and over every day. Like right. It's a groundhog day of hell.
Yeah, I hope so too. You know, the third season of American Horror Story with Papa Legba?
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's her fucking prison guard.
Yeah.
Her hell guard.
Yeah.
So Enriqueta, she may have been Spain's deadliest serial killer.
Wow.
But it's hard to say when they're not sure how many kids she murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And she also never kept track.
Well, of course she didn't.
Yeah, she never kept, like how she kept the book of clients.
Mm-hmm.
She never kept a count of kids.
Well,
that shocked me though, because I feel like she would be one of those people who would want to know how great her work has been.
That, but does she want to like have something written down that can trace back to her? Especially if she's lying and saying, oh, they were just given to me.
Yeah, I guess so. However, I feel like she's that kind of person who would be like, oh, I had all these kids given to me and we picked apples together
And we sing to birds together, and the birds sing back to us, and I'm going to write down every single one of their names.
Oh, no, I don't like her. And I don't like the story. I like you did a good job, but I
didn't like it either. That's why I told you the day that I did the Maria Riddle story.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on this one initially, but everything was so hard to find on this.
Yeah.
Because A, it's old as fuck.
And it's a foreign country.
And it's just like not that much is known.
Yeah.
Like what is known is known. And basically all of my resources that I found said almost identical information. Like some of them gave up a little bit more information than others did, or some of them gave more details about one thing than another, or like I said, the difference between the way that she died. But everything was basically the same, right? With just some things giving a little bit more detail.
Okay.
But the bottom line of it was all the same. And there was only a handful of these resources. And the way that they were organized were literally all the same, kind of like in the way that I put it, except for that they all started with Teresita and Angelita's murders,
mm-hmm.
because that's how she got caught, and then moved into more of the backstory.
Okay.
However, I wanted to frame it differently and like give it in chronological order to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fair.
Yeah, it was wickedly hard to research.
Well, I feel like that happens with all of the things that we've been researching, because it always starts with how they get caught, because that's the starting place. And then it has to like back up and go through the events preceding them getting caught. So I feel like that's kind of always the way it shakes out. Plus, it's the grabber.
Yeah, it's the hook.
Because if you just read a story about some lady who was born here and did this and went there, you wouldn't keep reading the story.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. Definitely not. However, I feel like this one could have easily had the start of it in 1909, not 1912.
Yeah.
When she was arrested for having a brothel.
Ugh.
And then it all got dropped.
Yeah. She's. But
anyway, what are your final thoughts on this, Mom?
I don't know. I don't like it. And I think my final thought is that we need to get away from these kid cases.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with that.
I don't either. I think, well, when I was looking, so when I had suggested the Junko case, it was because it was something that you had never heard of.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, didn't know that.
That was disturbing. That
so
was
terrible.
How, like I said, I wanted to kind of start off with a banger on the true crime cases.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that came to mind for me that I had heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Maria case, it was because I wanted a cold case.
Okay.
And then this one, like I said, had nerded out and watching a video, 37-second snippet of this case, and was immediately drawn in and was like, I want to research this one.
Right.
This is the one that I will research.
I need more.
But I didn't realize it was going to be her killing kids. And I feel like it also never really covered why she's a vampire.
That's true. I was waiting for that. But
yeah,
I forgot that those were her names, even though all of them were her name back. I mean, you know what I mean. Sorry.
I do know what you mean.
That all three of the titles that you gave all had the word vampire in the title.
Yeah, the vampire of blank.
Maybe just because of the blood part.
That's what I was thinking. So I did see one source that said that, like, in addition to everything that it had mentioned, that she was, you know, all of the things that she used to make these potions and ointments and such out of.
Mm-hmm.
That one person reported that she also had a vial of blood. But it never reported, like, her drinking it or doing anything of that nature. And so I just kind of left it out because I also mentioned the blood.
Right.
Going into these potions, and that they had found the coagulated blood in the apartment, too.
Right. Or that she sleeps in a freaking coffin and can't go out during the day. And she hates garlic, which would be bad if you live in Spain, because I feel like they use a lot of garlic.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, making light.
Yeah, no, I'm just, yeah, exactly. Like, it was never like, oh, this is why they call her the vampire. But maybe back then, vampire had a different meaning than it does to us today in, like, pop culture with people that grow fangs and eat from people's necks.
There you go. Maybe we could look at that.
I guess I could have done that.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't. Yet again, Daphne, you fell through.
No, you didn't fall. No falling happened.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, Mom.
Thanks for doing it, Daph.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I enjoyed this one.
Okay, no more kids.
It was creepy and twisted, and it made me go, ugh. And then I was like, ooh. And then I was like, what the fuck?
Things that make you go,
Yeah. Yeah, okay, next one I do will not be about children.
Okay, thank you. Because
apparently I'm suggesting all the children one. However, yours was about a fucking kid last week, too. Well, fresh out of teen years.
18.
Yeah. Yeah. Not out of teen, out of being a minor.
Yeah, I know.
But still a kid.
I know. My next one, I'm thinking not. It's not.
I won't do one about kids either.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do a kid killer.
What? A killer kid.
Killer kid.
Not a kid killer.
Oh, yeah. That's the same thing as what I did today.
Yeah.
A kid killer.
No. A killer kid.
Yes, a child who murders. No, I probably won't. Probably okay. Save those for later.
All right.
All right. Maybe I'll do a spooky case next time.
There you go.
All right. Take care. Stay safe. Bye.
Thanks for listening.